This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Tuesday, May 2nd.
What a great day.
We're through the draft, and it is Jason's birthday today.
It is.
And
52.
52 years young.
If you say an age that is way older, and you know you're lying about it drastically, you feel much better about it.
You feel younger.
I feel so much younger.
Somebody out there believed you.
Ooh, that's sad. Can I pull off 52? Goodness gracious.
No. You look not a day over 50.
Thank you.
No, like in a you could play 52
you could definitely
in a movie.
Pull off 52 if you did some.
Thanks, guys.
Not
did,
much.
If you did
not
some
much.
Like you gray the beard up a little bit and maybe you need more wrinkles.
Oh, they're coming. Don't worry. Give me a week or two.
Welcome into the show. NFL draft reactions today. We're going through the NFC winners and losers today, the AFC winners and losers on Thursday. I imagine you got an early birthday gift with the home of Bijan Robinson in the draft, although...
Mm-hmm. Then your birthday gifts were taken away from you and me.
Yeah, and we'll get into all of that today. That was Zach Charbonnet reaction. I was... pretty disappointed in your video reaction to the pick, which makes me wonder if I was examining the video and not everybody may have seen it. It's on our Twitter. We just recorded when the Falcons were on the clock and Jason's reaction. If I am examining that with a critical, eye, I think you were disappointed. I think that you did what you think you should have done. You clapped and you said, yay. You didn't stand. I've seen you stand. I've seen you pump your fist. I've seen you react with, I think you got what you thought was going to happen and you were disappointed that you didn't get something even better.
So you're right and you're wrong. You're right in the sense that I was a little disappointed, but what I was disappointed in was not the landing spot, was not something bad for Bijan. It was that it took away all of the drama that we could have had. It was over right away. It was the first opportunity
I could feel that
Bijan could have gone. And I was looking forward to the emotional hardship of, oh no.
As were we.
I just wanted it to end well, but then it started just too perfect. And it was like, okay, all right, we're here. But total landing spot. Phenomenal. Couldn't be much better. You're talking about incredible draft capital, going to a team that wants to run the ball to the toilet. That's the direct
what
quote.
What does that mean?
The direct quote.
Wait, that's a quote?
Kind of.
That's a Jason Moore quote.
That's how I'm...
Are you saying that has been said before?
I'm saying that...
What on earth does that even mean?
Head coach Arthur Smith was quoted as saying... I want to run the piss out of the ball.
Oh, okay.
So this is that's who he is.
Okay,
and so he got his guy.
I didn't know there was urine in the ball, but
look, that's not my quote.
This was a Steve Ballmer celebrating his toilet situation.
Not my quote, but
you said you had the script though, didn't you say that when you were projecting Bijan Robinson?
Yeah, so I did know, and okay. I
oh,
did
that's
get that
why
correct.
The reaction wasn't yeah. so because it was you know spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
We did have an incredible Ultimate Draft week. Thank you to everybody that's participated. The Ultimate Draft Kit, the UDK Plus, the Rookie Rankings Post-Draft. Mm. Those are done.
Those are done. The new updated rankings are going to be live. The Super Flex Rankings for Dynasty Startups for the Rookie Rankings, those will be live this week.
Brand new.
All of our, yeah, we haven't had those in the past. People have asked for them, and we're men of the people. So those will be going live this week for the UDK Plus.
And that's all at ultimatedraftkit.com. Part of this week was some exclusive giveaway items, which we'll get to right now. A signed Jaylen Waddle jersey. Who does this go to, Al?
Do we have a...
You just who's the winner?
Scott Iote.
Scott, congratulations.
That was 100%. I don't want to read this last name. That was, let me make the producer have to butcher it.
You bailed out, man. That's Scott Iote.
Iote.
DK Metcalf.
Iote.
Iote. All right, go
that's
on.
That's a fun one.
DK Metcalf signed jersey goes to Devin Jones.
Well, that's not very fun.
Got that one.
Congratulations, but...
And
Devin
then
Jones.
Our grand prize, the Listener League spot, Jacob Levy. Come on down.
Maybe Levi.
I think it's Levy.
Probably Levy.
Yeah.
I'll go with that, too.
Welcome to the Listener League, Jacob. It will be our pleasure to destroy you. And you've all been emailed, the winners. And congratulations. We'll do some more fun giveaways over the course of the summer. We are into May, which means...
We're into what?
The Ultimate Draft Kit is one month
producer's away. Asleep at the wheel.
No, you can't use that drop in May.
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Thank you for having some integrity.
I am actually with the producers on this. I love the drop, but it's May. You can't
Thank
say it's going to be May.
Okay.
Now, Mike right. did open up like his Twitter account today with... Another Timberlake gift.
No.
It is the dumbest joke. Oh, last night?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, counts.
Was Mike not here for the episode where Al did let that drop sit for about 30 minutes?
No, I was not here.
Oh, it
was
the
egregious.
Worst.
I believe his excuse was I was tweeting.
Yeah, he was like, his excuse was
I live
sorry,
on the
I,
show.
I'm on my phone.
He said something like I'm on Twitter.
Well, I was reacting to the Aaron Rodgers trade on Twitter,
yeah.
and my excuse was honesty, because that's all I had.
No, I mean, but and all we have is the right to make fun of it.
So we were in the midst of recording.
Oh, yeah.
And our producer's hold on, I got to go drop a sick tweet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get it. Aaron Rodgers news, that's big for the Jordan Love truthers out there, like Al.
Yeah.
But there's nothing I enjoy more than taking advantage of the weak moments of our producers.
All right.
Because they're so few and far between. They're such studs. So we got to take advantage. What else do we got going on?
I think it's time to get into the news.
Let's do it.
News and notes from around the league.
It's Deucer's Alley because occasionally we do drop a big one on one of those guys. How you doing today, Brooksy?
Doing great.
Yeah?
Right. And we know it's part of the job.
You tweeting?
Part of not right now.
All right. Kyle's in the building as well.
I'm making trades back here.
Are you?
I'm doing my job.
Dynasty?
Maybe.
Ooh.
My league? The league we're in together?
We're working on some
stuff.
Or
the one you keep losing it.
Interesting.
Stop.
Okay. NFL news. Lamar Jackson. Congratulations. We did it.
Get the bag.
5-year, $260 million deal, $185 guaranteed.
Congratulations.
Ravens get their guy.
Congratulations to the Ravens. I think their offense is going to be awesome.
Congrats to Mark Andrews.
Congrats to Mark Andrews. Congrats to Zay Flowers having Lamar Jackson there. And congrats to the NFL owners who now can put to bed the giant, fully guaranteed contract, because now that both Hurts and Lamar Jackson have done the normal awesome contract, they can't continue holding over the Browns' mistake on the rest of the league.
Yes, congratulations, billionaires.
Right, yes, yes.
And then the Cardinals. The Cardinals actually had a good draft.
Yeah,
however,
it didn't start well.
Tucked away in the news 5 minutes before the NFL draft started, the Cardinals get to the point of a settlement on a tampering dispute and just throw their third-round pick over to the Eagles, who threw theirs back. I mean, it's almost a 30-pick difference. And there you go. The Cardinals began the draft by losing a pick, and the Eagles, of course, did well.
And that was for tampering with head coach Jonathan Gannon.
Well, not at the time.
Right. At that point,
it was
the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, a phone call after the NFC title game by brand-new general manager making his mark, Monty Ossenfort. Speaking of the Eagles, there were 43 trades during the NFL draft weekend. That was a record.
Goodness gracious.
Which is, I try to hit 43 in our league every year. That's my baseline.
You usually do.
DeAndre Swift was traded from the Lions to the Eagles. It was a fourth round pick in 2025 and a seventh round pick swap this year.
It is currently 2023 for those following along at home. So this pick will not cost them much for a long time. Either DeAndre Swift is bad and okay, they gave up a fifth, or he's good and they gave up very little, but then he will sign somewhere and they'll get a compensatory pick back the same year they give up this pick. It is another brilliant move by one of the best managed teams in the NFL.
It will be very interesting to talk about the Eagles' backfield moving forward, though.
Yeah.
Because you have two players that have been known more for their injuries than their on-field success so far in DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny. And then you also have talent beyond them in the backfield room. So I'll be interested, like, is this not the time to talk about Swift's?
No, this is the time to talk about Swift's fantasy value.
So
I think it's important. It's going to be extremely overblown, in my opinion. It usually is. The DeAndre Swift truthers will never die. I think it will be a mistake. DeAndre Swift goes to a role that is obviously a great offensive line. Miles Sanders just had a big fantasy year, and you have hope that this Philly native coming home is going to be awesome for such a good offense. I don't see it that way. I see this as a four-back rotation. You've got DeAndre Swift. You've got Rashad Penny. Obviously, Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott, they've been involved even when Miles Sanders was there. So this is not going to be DeAndre Swift is now the dude who's going to be a workhorse back for a great offense. I think this will be a lot of running backs involved, and that's just if they stay healthy.
I completely agree, and I thought this would be a point of maybe disagreement here on the show, but people have asked, what do you do with Swift right now in Dynasty after the trade? I say you trade him on the promise of DeAndre Swift joining the Eagles, because you think about this offensive makeup, the touchdowns are not going to be easy to come by for DeAndre Swift with a multi-back rotation, Jalen Hurts on the goal line, and those wide receivers. To me, it's home run plays are the weeks that DeAndre Swift will have value. But beyond that, it may be very difficult to predict. And look, just to convert that into a Lions discussion, I mean, they obviously gave him away for basically nothing. The essence of what the Lions did in this draft was move a first-rounder and DeAndre Swift to get back Jahmyr Gibbs in a fourth in 2025. That was the real essence of their move. Now, it's a big bet by Detroit on a different player in Jahmyr Gibbs, who I think is very, very good. But it will be very interesting for, I think, Lions fans to watch this, because we've been down this road with a lot of running backs in Detroit. That's why Jason was not exactly thrilled with the idea of Bijan just landing there.
Yeah, it is ironic that one of the worst, in fact, the worst landing spot to me in the draft for Bijan was the Detroit Lions. That would have been catastrophic for his fantasy value. He goes into a timeshare. He's going to the most cursed backfield for running backs literally of all time. Barry Sanders is still haunting them.
We're back to the ghosts.
Look, only there, only in Detroit, yada, yada. But it's actually a good landing spot for Gibbs because it comes with draft capital that was not expected.
Right.
When you spend the capital that they did, which basically, like you said, Andy, was a first and Swift, essentially, for a 2025 fourth and Gibbs, you are committing to your team. And that's another, on the Swift side, that is another thing to keep in mind. We talk about they're not giving up much. The compensation for Swift isn't a ton, which means the investment isn't a ton. They aren't saying, you're our dude. They're saying, we can make a really smart transaction to just add another body here.
2010 first-round pick, Javid Best. 2015, 18, and 2020, they went second round. Amir Abdullah, Kerryon Johnson, DeAndre Swift. And here we are, 12th overall pick for Jahmyr Gibbs.
And I'm back in, baby.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm in.
There's great potential there, but it was a lot to give up. Adam Trautman traded.
Yeah, let's go,
this
baby.
This is being reported exclusively for Mike.
Thank you.
The Broncos acquired Adam Trautman in a seventh for a sixth.
That's right. Big time investment. I think this is just slightly interesting.
No. News?
No, it's not useless news because he goes back to the coach that drafted him. And Greg,
one hand up for useless news. Anybody with me?
Two hands
okay.
up for useless.
Well, are you fully in on Greg Dulcich?
Yes.
No.
More than Trautman, yeah.
Well, sure, definitely more than Trautman.
What do you mean fully in on?
I mean, like into the before this happened, it was like Greg Dulcich is looking like he is in a very good situation. He had
this does not impact my view on Dulcich.
Oh, it impacts it to me as he's back with the coach that drafted him with high draft capital and a bunch of extra picks to trade up to go get him. Adam Trautman requested the trade specifically because he wanted to be a pass catcher. Now, that doesn't mean that the Broncos will acquiesce and be like, yeah, you said you want to be a pass catcher, come be a pass catcher for us. But I think that it is a hindrance to the clear path for Greg Dulcich to have a breakout season.
I'm just happy that the NFL's given you an opportunity to be back in on Adam Trautman.
I didn't say I was back in.
Oh, that's what I heard.
There's
your
too many
guy.
Words out of your mouth Look, for you not to be back in.
You Dulcich can't be is... back in when you're never out, guys.
Oh, okay, that's fair. That's the truth.
Greg Dulcich is such a superior athlete, so he will be fine. That is my opinion on the matter.
Okay.
Adam Trautman was thwarted repeatedly by everybody on that Saints offense because, reps are earned. Opportunities are earned. Juwan Johnson earned them over Trautman, and Dulcich will do the same, in my opinion. Bills signed Latavius Murray to a one-year contract. So the backfield continues to...
He's on my dynasty roster, and I was looking...
He will get in there. You know what's happening.
Oh, yeah. This is the time of the year where you've got to drop, three, four, five players to let your rookies onto your roster, and I just assumed he was one of my auto cuts. I wake up, I'm like, what are you doing? How are you still signing contracts?
Jerry Jeudy, Brandon Ayuk, fifth-year options picked up for both of them. And after basically, 4 p.m. yesterday, teams can sign veteran free agents. We're recording this show a day early, so some of these guys might already get picked up. But there are free agents out there, and there are teams in the draft that didn't do things at running back that surprised, I think, a lot of people. And it might be because a Zeke or a Fournette or a Gordon or Hunt or some of these other running backs out there are going to be their additions. And then other wide receivers out there, Julio, Cobb, Landry, Galladay.
We did not need to mention those names.
Yeah, no. All right, any other news that we need to cover?
No, sir.
Nope.
Hey, rookie. Welcome to the NFL.
NFC winners and losers.
Well,
we were all kind of losers here.
One of us more than the rest. Let's start
I'm
with
not
our
even embarrassed
with our results from our predictions episode, where Mike and I tied for first, doubling the correct amount of predictions.
Yes, we
over
did.
Andy
oh,
Holloway.
Yeah. Oh, so, no, no great details. Job. No details there.
Great
huh?
work, Mike. I gave details.
Oh,
we doubled.
Plenty.
your amount of picks.
Well, let's put it, all I'll say is that I got one right.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Embarrassing. Shame upon your house.
The Dynasty Pass has full rankings, production profiles, rookie mock draft, risers, fallers, all the updates heading your way.
This was statistically the least predictable draft as far as like the people that track the mock drafts and all of that. This one was a wild one.
Yeah. All right. Let's start in the NFC South with the Carolina Panthers. They take Bryce Young, number one overall. And then maybe the biggest wide receiver surprise in the draft was Jonathan Mingo, who had been shooting up draft boards, taken in the second round, number 39 overall, 6'2", 220, and really could be their number one. I mean, he could be their top guy. Adam Thielen, DJ Chark, Terrace Marshall, the competition is not stiff.
No, it's Mingo. Mingo will end up as the number one.
It might take some
receiver.
Time, though, I'll say. Like, it might not be week one of the season, but
sure.
I think he could start.
But his athleticism is fantastic. You rattle off 6'2", 220. In a draft where the majority of the wide receivers were little bitty baby guys of like 180 and under, which is, that's tiny for the NFL, to get a guy who's 6'2", 220, to grow with your overall number one pick. I love this pick, and I think that Jonathan Mingo is – I think he will be not elite. I'm not calling for that, but I think he's going to be a very, very good fantasy player, and I think that he is worth a late first-round dynasty rookie pick.
Yeah, I think that's where he'll be landing is right on that 1-2 turn in rookie startups in non-superflex leagues. But if you just think about how the starting rotation will go, you assume Adam Thielen will be in the slot. And so then it's basically DJ Chark, Mingo, and Terrace Marshall fighting for two outside roles. And Terrace Marshall ain't never won a thing in his NFL life for a minute.
You think the Mingo will eat his baby?
yes.
A Mingo?
Yes.
So that's the what Mingo, you're going
baby.
I love right. it. A Mingo will eat Terrace Marshall's baby.
I was going to jackknife it in there no matter what, because there's not a lot of Mingos that have come through the NFL in the last 8-9 years. 28% of the targets are vacated, but again, there's a rookie quarterback. You're not going to get over 4,000 yards. You're going to have a team that had such success running the football. I mean, their whole offense is rebuilt. I mean, they have a new running back. They have new wide receivers, new quarterback. This is a new tight end. Brand new offense. So I think Mingo has every chance to be the number one in what I would say would be a bottom half passing offense.
Yeah, that is fair. It's also worth noting they did not add.
Barkevious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. M-I-N-G-O?
Yeah.
And Mingo was his name-o?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's worth noting with their draft picks, they did not add a running back.
Yes, it is
it
notable.
Is Miles Sanders, full steam ahead. I really do believe he's going to have a huge workload, including passing work this season.
So from a fantasy loser perspective, that's Terrace Marshall's opportunity.
I mean, dude, I mistakenly traded a second last year when it looked like
he took the shot.
His opportunity. And then this offseason came. Oh, they trade DJ Moore. It looks like, man, he's finally going to have his opportunity. And then they're what they've done is show you exactly what they think of Terrace Marshall. Because they said the right things. Oh, he's got a great opportunity. And then they go and they sign Adam Thielen and they sign DJ Chark and they draft Mingo. They don't believe in Terrace Marshall.
But Mike's brought this up before. Like, if you don't do it early, you don't do it very often. I mean, it's very rare to have a Devontae Parker storyline. That's why it's called a Devontae Parker storyline. Most of the time, if you don't do it early, it doesn't get done. And the team moves on. The team knows, you know, there's a lot. I mean, the DeAndre Swift situation is one where, like, look, we're fantasy players. We watch him play. We think he's good. It was obvious, like, at the end of last, not this past season, but the season before that, you know, this team just wasn't in on DeAndre Swift. There are things behind the scenes, confidence levels. Terrace Marshall's done.
Yep. It's the
Bijan Minute. Yeah. Bijan Robinson to the Falcons. Let's talk about the Falcons. We had the expected draft pick, Bijan Robinson out of Texas at 8 overall, running back in the top 10 of the NFL draft. really nothing that he cannot do. He's a monster. It was strange in a way because, look, he's a much better player than any back that they had, but they were number one in almost every rushing metric last year. Tyler Allgeier, 4.9 yards per carry as a rookie, over 1,000 yards.
Broke the rookie record.
Broke the rookie record.
And he did.
But this team is moving forward with Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
And they just had a lot of needs. Like, I ran into a Falcons fan at a store this past weekend. He was swagged out. So I quickly asked him his opinion of the trade. And his thoughts, and Kyle, I know you're a Falcons fan, so I don't know if you share them, but it's like the Falcons keep trying to fix problems with offense, is what he said. It's always adding offensive pieces. It's not addressing the defense. They added another one when they do have holes. I mean, are you just like already got the jersey on the way?
Oh, I got the jersey for the kids, but yes, for building a team, this isn't the right move, but Allgeier set the Atlanta rookie record.
Yes.
And fifth round draft capital says, who cares? That's what they said.
Well, you had him. You had Caleb Huntley ripping off 4.8 yards per attempt. And when your wide receiver depth chart is loaded with Drake London, I mean, first round pick,
mm-hmm.
Top 10. Just, then you got Mack Hollins.
You got
Scotty Miller.
Scotty.
I mean, like, your backups are like Frank Darby, Kadarius Hodge. When you have that as your
flexibility, when you're wide,
you have the luxury pick. Take the running back, make sure that the now who holds the rookie record for your most yards from a running back, get him out of here. Replace him with a better player.
Yeah,
that's how you win in the NFL.
Well said.
Tyler Allgeier, Stan, speaking up.
Well said, Mike. No,
so stupid.
Lions
so
fans.
So stupid.
Lions fans are really upset with us for calling their pick at number 12 of Gibbs stupid, which it totally is. So is the Falcons. What a dummy, dumb, dumb pick. I mean, just awful. I love it. I wanted it. I rooted for it. This is fantastic for fantasy
football.
Because
you don't play real football.
Exactly. And I'm not a Falcons fan. But if I was a Falcons fan, I'd be like, what are you doing? Warren Sharp put them on blast. A great Twitter follow. This is what he pointed out from last year. He said they were number one in rushing yards, number one in yards per carry, number one in rushing first downs, number two in EPA per rush, number three in success rate, number three in first downs or touchdowns per rush. They were really good at running the ball, which is why, I mean, you take all that, the scheme that came over from Tennessee with Derrick Henry, you put Bijan in there, whoo, baby, for fantasy football, this is fantastic.
The only true problem that I can see here is it's the offense being able to move the football enough. You saw Derrick Henry in the Tennessee offense with Ryan Tannehill who could function handing the ball off. That was successful. Desmond Ridder,
he's
QBR of 36, QBR of 51, QBR of 36. If you look, Malik Willis also ran the Tennessee offense last year for a couple games. That wasn't the best time in the world for Derrick Henry. So I would love Bijan to have goal line opportunities. I think the offense with Desmond Ridder are going to have ups and downs. You're going to have games where they score 9 points.
Yeah, I'm guessing week five it's Taylor Heinicke. That's just, look,
sure. Still,
maybe
still,
that's
still
spicy.
An up and down situation.
Maybe
though.
That's spicy, yeah. But
that's not spicy at all.
Yeah. All right, so Tyler Allgeier, put him on the boat, push him out to sea, and farewell. The New Orleans Saints, we will talk about them momentarily.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online, It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. It's no secret we get deep on football here to the point where, yeah, maybe I might lose track of a few other things, like subscriptions. I mean, do you know how many you've got right now? Probably not, but our sponsor, Rocket Money, can help. I've been a longtime user of Rocket Money. I love it. I get pop-ups all the time checking in on my finances. Things like subscriptions, like, hey, you should probably go through your subscriptions and just make sure that everything is on the up and up. And I go and I check and I review every single time. And sometimes, every once in a while, boom, there's a subscription that I forgot about that I don't use anymore. Thank you, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/footballers. That's rocketmoney.com/footballers. rocketmoney.com/footballers.
All right, fantasy headlines for the New Orleans Saints. Kendre Miller, third-round draft pick, running back out of TCU, somebody that we were all big fans of, I think, yes, in the scouting process. Jamal Williams was added this offseason. Alvin Kamara is still there and will be missing a few games to start the year. I think the Alvin Kamara dynasty value discussion is an interesting one overall, because Kendre Miller's a very good player. But you've got a lot of mouths to feed in this backfield. You have a new quarterback. What was your reaction here to, like, is this a landing spot you're happy with for Kendre Miller?
I love the draft capital for Kendre Miller. He was a guy that I know Mike and I and Andy, you just said you did as well, loved the film. It took a village to bring him down. He broke tackles. He had breakaway runs. Really, really, really liked him. He was injured late in the process, didn't get to do a lot of the combine and the visits. I thought he was going to drop. And so the fact that he went day two in the NFL draft makes me extremely excited. He is probably the biggest riser on my draft rankings. He finds himself in a landing spot that is a little crowded right now, but I would be surprised if Alvin Kamara is on this roster next year.
Yeah, that's how I see it. He moved up to my running back three after the unfortunate Charbonnet incident from the Seattle Seahawks, because the path is there. I'm with Jason that Alvin Kamara, he has been a superstar, but all superstars eventually fade away, and they move away from the NFL, and teams move away from them. The Jamal Williams contract is...
Is that a supernova when a star explodes?
When it explodes. Yes.
Yeah.
Are you calling for the supernova season?
No. I guess a star dies without a supernova, right?
Yeah, it can. It doesn't have to supernova.
But you have to have champagne.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know where this one's going.
It's champagne supernova.
Oh, that's an Oasis reference.
Thank you. Whoa. Really good.
Okay.
It was super good.
I think there's better ways.
You got to remember, this guy's 41, Mike. His references are going to be in a different era than.
Nailed it.
Kendre Miller, and the he could get right out of the gates of the expected upcoming suspension for Kamara. Nothing has happened yet, but we all expect it to happen. It could be Jamal Williams and Kendre Miller immediately proving that he belongs on an NFL field. And I think sooner than later, he will be the guy for the Saints. It could take a full year.
I was going to say, Kamara, when he gets back, is going to catch a
touchdown. Yeah, absolutely. But we're talking there are no running backs other than Gibbs and Bijan look like they are set up to start day one.
And
everyone else is a backup.
And for the purposes of Dynasty, Kendre Miller's very young.
Yes.
He is not yet 21 years old. So if he has to be in a crowded backfield for a year and then is in the age that most rookies are drafted, next year, that's fantastic.
Juwan Johnson, another winner. They didn't replace him at tight end. They traded Troutman away. Johnson is a sleeper in the tight end category.
Oh, for sure.
Buccaneers, the winner for the Buccaneers is Rashad White.
Yes, it is.
They did not add another back during this draft. So if you were...
During the draft. During post-draft, they did.
They add Sean Tucker, who did not go... He was not drafted, had a health concern that clearly led to that. You know, I think we all looked at Sean Tucker before knowing about the health situation.
I loved him.
In a very similar places. I mean, I had him one spot behind Kendre Miller in my rankings. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised they go a round apart, but with the health concern, didn't get drafted. You know, it makes sense for the Buccaneers to take the shot at it if he's healthy. But Rashad White right now, look, I think he's a good player. I said this earlier in the offseason. Not everybody agrees. I just think he's a very good football player. What this team's able to do this year with Baker Mayfield, you know, lots to be determined. But if you get snaps at running back, you're checking off the two biggest, you know, boxes that you can for fantasy. So we'll see if Sean Tucker does anything in camp.
Yeah, you obviously lose Tom Brady, you lose a lot of targets, but you are replacing Leonard Fournette with Sean Tucker undrafted. So Rashad White is certainly a winner. And then other winners here, the Buccaneers could have traded up for a quarterback. They did not. So obviously Kyle Trask, superstar.
Set up for success. And I want to it's just a quick highlight because he was a round six wide receiver. But Trey Palmer – out of Nebraska, he started at LSU, he transferred over, but this past year he was a yards per route run and a targets per route run absolute monster. He has the athletic profile to be very interesting in the NFL, and he's 6 foot 192, so he's not tiny. So he's just, like, if you're in, you know, a four-round type of a dynasty rookie draft, then I would take the shot on him late.
Absolutely.
Moving into the NFC North, the Chicago Bears. Fantasy relevant draft picks here. They invested in offensive line early.
Yes.
Number 10 overall, the second offensive tackle off the board, trying to keep Justin Fields upright, get those turnovers to, you know, move the opposite direction of where they were. And so, you know, that's big for Fields. Roschon Johnson, running back, fourth round pick. This is going to be your compliment to Khalil Herbert.
Well, yeah, and you have Deontay Foreman is there as well. So this one is going to be a crapshoot here of who is the primary running back, because I think Khalil Herbert is very, very good. We have some evidence of when Montgomery was out, Herbert dominated, not just for the NFL. He dominated for fantasy football. But Khalil Herbert is one of these guys. He doesn't have draft capital. I think he was a fifth rounder? We'll double check that. So, like, he had very little investment into him. They lost David Montgomery. He looked like a free agency winner. And now he was a winner in the draft because there was no day two pick on a running back. However, Roschon Johnson in the fourth. Okay, so Herbert was a sixth rounder. And now you have a fourth rounder, which we know that the hit rate on fourth rounders is already bad. So this is a... It's a bit of a fantasy mess of there is no clear path for anybody. Like, if Roschon Johnson ends up as the starter by week four, won't surprise me. If Herbert is the guy for the entire season, it won't be really surprising.
And you haven't Deonta really Foreman. I was going to say, Deonta Foreman is who I have personally at the top of this list as far as I believe he will be the most valuable asset. But the illustration here is perfect. It could be any of them. Yes. It will probably be none of them.
And they're all...
You're going to most likely have a three-way timeshare, but I do think the best pass catcher might be Roschon Johnson.
And they're all, like, similar prototypes, too. Like, they're bigger guys. So it is an absolute mess here.
The Green Bay Packers invested heavily on offense in this draft.
Take that, Aaron.
Luke Musgrave.
Ooh.
Off the board in the second round, tight end. Pass catcher.
Can't believe they didn't take JSN.
Yeah, they went. Oh, earlier, you mean?
Yeah, they should have taken him at 13, dummies.
Jaden Reed, second rounder, wide receiver, Michigan State. Third round, another tight end, Tucker Kraft. You can't have too many. And then quarterback in the fifth, wide receiver in the fifth, and late running back. So, you know, heavy investments at wide receiver through the first five rounds. could muddy the water for wideouts not named Christian Watson.
It definitely could. Jaden Reed is very interesting out of Michigan State because you have, like, Christian Watson was big plays. He was touchdowns. It was not volume, and that was big play touchdowns from a Hall of Fame quarterback. Now you move to Jordan Love. Can he do anything similar to that? Probably not. Like, Jaden Reed, he doesn't have a tremendous production profile. He's older. He's 23, and he played all 4 years, so he's not an early declare. So there's some red flags against him, but he is a very interesting prospect to me, taken in the second round, just like Christian Watson was. And I think it's bigger trouble for Romeo Doubs of that holding on to his fourth round draft capital of last year, hoping that he turns into everything that the hype machine said he could turn into. I like Jaden Reed here as a like an early second round rookie pick.
What's really nice is if you look at the depth chart at wide receiver, he is almost guaranteed to be a starter. He's
right.
It's going to be Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and Jalen Reed as your primary three wide receivers. There just isn't really an option for other people unless there's a shocker and someone outplays someone. But for the most part, right now, on paper, he's a starter.
Yeah, my worry for Doubs exists in part because of Rodgers departing. You know, he's had his guys that he kind of goes to bat for. It seems like Doubs was one of those guys that had his attention. I would have been a little worried about Lazard without Rodgers.
Sure.
Just because of their connection, too. So it'll be interesting. Couple tight ends. Al, I'm sure you were thrilled with the two tight ends. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt any
tweeting
or anything, did I?
No, you're good. Thanks.
Not on
for
Twitter.
Checking.
We got to get him on like screen time.
Yeah, that's good. Just limit him. Maybe we like can just turn his phone off
this is
while
down,
we record.
Like downtime. What'd you think of the double tight end stack that you were?
I wasn't a fan.
No?
No. I think we're rostering like five or six right now.
That's what you want to do.
Is Mercedes Lewis still there?
No.
Oh, he's not?
He's in New York probably. Man.
No.
Hanging, he's not on New York, but he's in New York. He's just hanging around. Do you see the video of Alan Lazard and Rodgers at the Rangers game?
I did not.
Well, they're fully New York now.
The hockey, right?
That yes, the hockey, as
okay.
they say.
All right.
Did you not? You didn't catch any of that Game 7 hockey this week?
No,
weekend?
I was
the
watching.
Hockey is in the
Kyle, did you watch that?
I don't like hockey that much.
Did you see the Florida Boston game?
Yes, that was awesome.
Holy crap!
You're wearing a hockey hat right now.
This is a documentary of hockey. It's not real hockey.
Yeah, Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks hat.
I mean, I was watching basketball, so no time.
I'll tell you this.
No time for hockey.
I will tell you this. Game 7, Florida-Boston, far more entertaining than Game 1 of the Suns.
I believe it.
The Lions. Oh, boy. Let's talk about the Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs, number 12 overall. They celebrated like there was no tomorrow. I mean, this was... Dan Campbell got elbowed.
Yes.
In the chest. They were celebrating. So, look, it's a big gamble on Jahmyr Gibbs, but the draft capital, they have big plans for him.
That-
so, for fantasy-wise, whether you think it's just like Atlanta, whether you think they made the right decision at running back or not, irrelevant at this point. They drafted a really, really good player that we love on film, and they have a plan for him, or they don't draft him at 12.
100%. You don't react like that. You don't celebrate like that. And spend that draft capital, the number 12 overall pick. There were rock star edge rushers on the board when they picked at 6 that they bypassed and at 12. Great players. They have a plan for Gibbs. That's my takeaway. And that plan has to be catching so many
yes.
passes. I think he is. Remember, Dan Campbell spent a lot of his time with Alvin Kamara and the Saints over there. I think he is wanting to get a pass-catching back who's going to get a ton of targets, open things up in that way. So, as I said earlier, bad landing spot for Bijan, who already was assumed to have first-round draft capital. Jahmyr Gibbs,
bad landing
who
spot?
It would have been.
Oh, for the if he had gone
if
Lions.
If he had gone to the Lions. But for Jahmyr Gibbs, who was up until a week or two ago, considered a second-round pick and then started getting buzz, maybe he'll go in the back of the first, to be drafted at 12 with a plan. For fantasy, I do think he's going to be very, very good.
They need a wide receiver. I mean, that's the truth. Jameson Williams is suspended now to begin the year. DJ Chark is not a part of this offense anymore. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to fill a lot of the offensive gap to start the year, and I think he's good enough to establish himself in that run. Mike, Sam Laporta, tight end.
Yep.
You know, Darnell Washington dropped in this draft. There were a lot of tight ends that went ahead of him. Laporta has the ability, I think, to step in and be that replacement for T.J. Hockenson. I mean, he caught 58 passes at Iowa last year, 53 the year before.
It's fantastic. You got Brock Wright, Shane Zylstra, James Mitchell. Like, this is his role to have on lockdown here pretty soon. Obviously, he's going to be a rookie, so we know the history with rookie tight ends is not great. He probably won't make a huge impact this year. But going forward, man, is this such a good landing spot for Laporta. And the draft capital, they took him over Michael Mayer.
Yep.
They also, you know, David Montgomery is definitely in the category of fantasy loser in this deal because there's going to be lots of downs that he is now giving up to Jahmyr Gibbs. Ones that he's a very capable pass catcher. So if they had gone with a different running back of a different makeup, I probably would have been less or much lower draft capital. I would have been far less concerned about Montgomery. He was a player that I was willing to, you know, I wanted to go take a gamble on in some dynasty leagues. I did not acquire him, mercifully.
Yeah, sometimes things turn up your way. And then got to talk about my guy, Hendon Hooker, quarterback out of Tennessee. He goes in the third round. Of course, you don't love that draft capital, but for the draft capital, I am just infatuated with the landing spot.
There's a clear path for him.
Yeah, he's coming off of the torn ACL, so he still needs time to recover from that. He needs time to acclimate to the NFL, coming out of the offense of Tennessee, the one read scramble type of a system. But the plan for the Lions, it can change. It can easily change if the season doesn't go their way and they end up with a high first round pick next year. But as of right now, like Hendon Hooker taking over as the quarterback for this team, which could be a very potent offense in 2024, I think he is definitely worth stashing at the back of a bench. Just like, I'm not saying he's Jalen Hurts at all, but Jalen Hurts was a second round pick. And he went really, really late in rookie drafts because you were like, oh, he's not going to be the starter. Hendon Hooker's not going to be the starter, but he could be in just a year from now.
I think he will be in just a year from now. If you look at Jared Goff's contract situation, he's making a lot of money, and it continues to balloon and get larger. But the dead cap, like this year, if they wanted to move on from him, we were saying when the trade happened that they will have Jared Goff as the starter for at least 2 years because this year, $41 million in dead cap. He's their starter. Next year, drops to $15 million. They can open up a lot of cap space.
Well, it really is just going to come down to performance. If the Lions have a really good season, they're not moving on from Jared Goff. If they make the playoffs, win the division, all of that stuff, I don't think they're going to make the preemptive, you know, just let's jettison him, our first winning season for a long time. But
it'll be telling because they'll know how Hendon Hooker has done in practice. He should be healthy enough to be a big part of they're going to have their eyes on him. So even if they have a decent season, I think they could make that transition just from a cap situation.
The Minnesota Vikings, let's take Madison and add an Addison. Okay, Jordan Addison, first-round pick, number 23 overall. And
is he our everyone's wide receiver too?
He is mine.
For rookies?
I think so, yeah. Okay.
He was my two, and
they're still,
despite the run, he remains there. I love the landing spot.
I don't love the landing spot. I'm fine with the landing spot. I think it guarantees a floor for him that other spots wouldn't have guaranteed. But I still look at this offense that runs through Justin Jefferson, that has a talent like T.J. Hockenson that will demand targets, that, you know, K.J. Osborne had his games last year. I think Addison will be involved, but I do see this being a lower ceiling, higher floor landing spot for Addison, where he could have gone someplace like Los Angeles and to the Chargers, which they had every opportunity to pick him. Yep. They went with Quentin Johnston. And I guess I'm less enthusiastic about the ceiling here. I think you probably have, you know, everyone's going to want to compare it to Higgins in Cincinnati.
Yes, I am.
Or Devontae Smith in Philadelphia.
Yes, I am.
And both of those situations are more stable, better quarterback situations, in my opinion. So I don't think Addison has the ceiling that maybe some people think.
Long-term dynasty outlook is a little bit scary because of how much the Minnesota Vikings hate Kirk Cousins, and that town really wants them to draft a quarterback, move on, figure out a way away from Kirk Cousins because they don't think he can bring them to a Super Bowl. In the meantime, though, Kirk Cousins is very good and certainly good enough to have productive receivers. You have 107 missing targets from Adam Thielen. I think Jordan Addison goes right into that Thielen role as a first-round pick. He'll be playing in the slot. I believe he will have a very good rookie season, and his talent, to me, says that there is a ceiling if they keep a decent to good quarterback.
Do you think that Jordan Addison puts up more fantasy points than T.J. Hockenson this year?
Yes.
You both do?
Yes.
All right. Consider me not in that camp. The Commanders – Let's stay here for a second. KJ Osborne is obviously somebody that takes a hit due to that draft pick. What's going on with Dalvin Cook?
The rumors before the draft.
They did not invest in a running back.
They did not. Well, I mean, they pre-invested in before the draft because they gave Alexander Mattison the contract extension. The rumors that I was hearing before the draft were that Dalvin Cook, things are kind of lined up, but it will not happen until
June 1st.
So the fact that Dalvin Cook, it looks like he made it out of the NFL draft. Like, oh, here we go. Dalvin Cook is still going to be the guy for Minnesota. That is not the case.
Handicap him staying in Minnesota.
I
think it's 50-50.
I think that it's a majority that he is gone. So I'll go 65% that he's off the Vikings.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I am. 60-40 that he is off of the Vikings. They did draft Dwayne McBride, someone that I know Mike likes. Yeah. A lot of people in the dynasty community like. He was an excellent running back. I believe he only caught 5 passes in his college career, so he's not a pass catcher. And he played
against round draft pick.
He played against weak competition. I wasn't in love with him the way that I know a lot of people were, but yes, 7th round draft pick means
they also have Ty Chandler.
They weren't planning on Dwayne McBride as part of the plan post Dalvin Cook. You don't plan on guys in the 7th round. You just grab a guy that you think can make an impact in the 7th round. So the fact that they almost went the entire draft without grabbing a running back does make me a little bit less confident that Dalvin Cook is gone, but TBD. And I have seen the same rumors that there's an AFC team, that there's a trade lined up. Post June 1st, the trade will happen.
Let's go real quick through the Commanders. Not a lot to talk about. They invested on the defensive side and in the trenches. They did draft a 6th-round running back. It's not consequential. So Brian Robinson.
Which they said they had a 3rd-round grade on.
Sure. Yeah.
He also.
You're the only ones because he went in the 6th. So.
And they are comparing him to Christian McCaffrey.
Of course they are.
That's a joke, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a joke right now until it's not a joke.
Sam Howell. Comes away without a more competition at quarterback. So Sam Howell, Brian Robinson, big winners. No significant losers in this draft for the Commanders. The Giants.
Speaking of quarterbacks and winners,
mm-hmm.
Middling to bad college quarterbacks were huge, huge winners. Thank you, Brock Purdy. Every team was drafting these. Everyone was trying to get Brock Purdy in this draft. It was crazy, but the Commanders did not.
The Giants, they invested a 3rd-round draft pick on Jalin Hyatt. Jalin Hyatt arrives. I think he was the 10th wide receiver off the board. He slipped. And a 5th-round running back in Eric Gray. Look, Jalin Hyatt, considering where he went and slipping, this was as good of a situation as he could have had.
The Giants just needed a slot wide receiver. You know, it was like they didn't really have anyone that could fill the role of the slot. I was preparing all of my statistics. You know, this is May now, which is a nightmare. We stat out everybody. And when I got to the Giants wide receiving core, I was actually shocked because, it was one that was bad. They added Jalin Hyatt. But you've got a busy cluster here. Wandale Robinson coming back, Isaiah Hodgins, Paris Campbell, Jalin Hyatt, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard. That is 6 wide receivers that legitimately could make the team and play, which is not great.
Yeah, I think Hyatt can play outside. He's an 18.9 per catch guy, a burner. He can go out there and play a Darius Slayton type of role. You know, for fantasy purposes, you're going to need to let the dust settle a little bit on who's part of this rotation. So I'm not saying invest a high pick on him. But, you know, when you add Jalin Hyatt in the third, it is a shot to Slayton. It is a shot to Hodgins. It doesn't really affect my view of Wandale with his draft capital. But, you know, Paris Campbell, Shepard, hopes that you had for those guys. They already added Waller to this offense that's going to soak up some targets. So, you know, that's kind of how I see the Giants.
Yeah, Daniel Jones has been a big winner of this whole offseason process. Adding Jalin Hyatt, Paris Campbell, Darren Waller, having some of these receivers you lost get healthy and come back would be really interesting.
The Cowboys, fantasy winners, Tony Pollard. They didn't invest in a running back until the sixth round when they drafted Deuce Vaughn.
Oh, man.
Which what apparently laid you out, Jay.
It did, man. It laid
got everybody
out. If you haven't seen the videos or you don't know the story, Deuce Vaughn's father, longtime cowboy, works there, was in the draft room.
Scout.
He got to literally call his son and ask him if he wants to come to work with him on
it's
Monday.
Great video.
Unbelievable.
Did it change your opinion of Jerry Jones watching that video?
No, not really.
No.
At all. No. No.
I don't think Jerry Jones is a robot. I mean, he's a human. He has emotions. He just, I don't know that he's a good person.
I think he was really proud of himself for doing such a good human
thing. Oh my gosh. You just decided to take a shot at him for being good?
But
wow.
When you watch just, you know, basically the whole room in there gave Daddy Vaughn a standing ovation. It was just awesome to see. It will be cool, though, the fact that, you know, this is a kid growing up in and around the Cowboys organization. They're bringing him in. He was so productive. We haven't talked much about him because he's 2 feet, 3 inches tall, weighs 98 pounds. He
oh,
is the smallest running back that has ever existed. He's literally 5'5". I believe that is the shortest.
Jerry Jones weighs more than
running,
that.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Outrageous.
1,400 yards on the ground, 468 through the air in 2021. 1,558 rushing yards in 2022, 378 through the air. Like,
he had almost 300 rushing attempts last year.
His production is outrageous. We have seen this before LaMichael Perine, anybody. These guys do happen in college. Rarely ever translates, but it's a great story, and he'll be interesting to watch to see if he can get on the field.
Well, in the second round, they drafted a new tight end. It was Luke Schoonmaker, who it's rare when you can draft a player that you can both have the crowd go, Luke, and also Schoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might get the double up. Just do first, and then once. Yeah, they'll just do both. Luke Schoonmaker.
So, Michigan, second round. No Dalton Schultz.
It was the landing spot is perfection for the future. Dak Prescott loves to throw to the tight end position. If you were holding on hopes for either Ferguson or Hendershot as just nasty boys off of your waiver wire.
Goodbye.
They can return to which they came from. But Michael Mayer was on the board, right? Am I remembering
when
that?
When they had their first pick? Yes. Schoonmaker didn't go above.
Okay. All right. I'm misremembering that.
No, but they could have drafted.
They could have drafted Mayer
in the first round.
They didn't.
But you look at what the Bengals did, right? The Bengals went up two spots to hop the Cowboys.
Yes.
And draft Kincaid because they saw the opportunity.
Did you just say the Bengals?
Or I'm sorry, the Bills.
Yeah,
the Bills traded up. Yes, I did say the Bengals. The Bills traded up two spots to get ahead of the Cowboys because they thought the Cowboys were going to go Dalton Kincaid because they have a great opportunity for pass catching tight end. So Schoonmaker,
second time it's happened to Dallas.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert was taken from them, and so they end up with the bridesmaid here. It's a great landing spot. Whatever, third round, fourth round, dynasty stash for years down the road.
There's really not a lot to talk about for the Eagles. The Eagles invested in the University of Georgia. And
defense.
Yeah, so they're just kind of
they're going to be so good.
They're set up. And then we talked about the Swift trade already. So at the beginning of the show, if you're just joining the Philly part here, go back and listen to that breakdown. We talk about Swift and the backfield. One more division in the NFC. My goodness. The NFC West, the Cardinals. They traded from 3 to 12 to 6, drafted an offensive tackle. That's good news for Kyler Murray. They needed help on the offensive line. In the third round, a bit of a surprise, they went with Michael Wilson out of Stanford.
Yeah, he was someone we haven't scouted because he wasn't on the field much. When you look at his tape, he's absolutely excellent. And for this class,
he's big.
He's actually the prototypical NFL wide receiver. He has just dealt with injuries every single year. That's the knock on him. People in the scouting community loved him as a talent, but just, I mean, crazy injured pretty much every single year.
Yeah, and then Clayton Tune, quarterback, in the fifth round, they also invested there. Why is that worth mentioning? Well, Kyler, if he's not available, you have a 38 or 39-year-old Colt McCoy.
Colt's that old? That blew my mind when Andy just said that.
Maybe he's 37. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's 36.
Okay.
He'll be 37 when the season begins, and he's been hurt, and he's coming off the injury. So there is going to be an opportunity for somebody to step up in place of Kyler if he's not starting.
There's a legitimate chance that Clayton Tune is the week one starter for the Arizona Cardinals, and that would be fantastic because there's a legitimate—
You're forgetting about the David Blau?
Mm-hmm.
They would start Blau.
This is not worth a discussion, but—
There's a legitimate chance that the Arizona Cardinals could have—
They might change their
two
tune.
Top five picks next season. In fact, right now the odds on favorite for the number one pick and the second odds on favorite for the number one pick are both owned by the Arizona Cardinals. So for dynasty purposes, it's very interesting when you look at Kyler's outlook. Caleb Williams, a big name for next year's number one overall pick. Either Kyler does good things this year, they win too many games to have that number one pick, and then they have capital to really support him, and he's a great dynasty asset going forward, or he could be replaced next year.
All right, the Rams. The Rams had an interesting draft to me. I mean, big winner of the draft is Cam Akers, right? And
yes,
Kyren Williams.
Somehow.
Well, and Kyren, Mike, you and I liked him last year.
Yeah.
Didn't get much of an opportunity as a rookie. Cam Akers, his season was one of the most odd, awkward, weird, up, down, all around running back years I've ever witnessed. And so they didn't add another weapon there. They didn't go out and add a extremely high draft capital wide receiver. Now, they didn't have a pick till the 36 overall, but
the depth chart at wide receiver is
bad.
It's bad. You've got Van Jefferson. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is going to be a great player. Puka Nacau, their fifth round wide receiver that they drafted, I liked him, and he lands on a depth chart where he can have an impact as a rookie. So it's not a bad landing spot, even though the draft capital wasn't good. And they did grab a running back that a lot of people had really high. You know, he was one of the highest recruits coming out of high school to college.
It's such a Rams
to TCU.
Pick. It really is.
But Zach Evans
it's such
from
a Rams
Ole Miss
pick. Yeah.
Was drafted. So he, you know, again, it's another one of those depth charts you land on where you go sixth round draft capital. It doesn't matter. It sucks. But he ends up on a team where you could have a 1 year impact.
Yeah. The fact that Cam Akers could go from relevance to off the team, away from the team, it does open a door for Zach Evans, but I'm not sure what they're doing there at wide receiver. They also drafted Stetson Bennett, mm-hmm. who, fourth round draft pick. Matthew Stafford's been banged up and talked about retirement, so who knows? The Seahawks ended up
here we go
with Jaxon Smith-Njigba at 20 overall. The Packers and several other teams passed on him, including teams that we thought might take the shot. And he falls to Seattle. They take the best player available in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And, you know, right out of the gate, you look at the situation, you say, well, they got DK Metcalf and they got Tyler Lockett, so it's not a good situation. I don't really look at it that way. In my opinion, they have DK Metcalf on a new contract, and then they have an opportunity. You know, we've been kind of made to look stupid predicting the fall of Tyler Lockett, but it will come eventually. And JSN is good enough to kind of, I think, force the issue at some point here. You know, Lockett's going to be 31.
Yeah, Tyler Lockett will play this season at 31 years old. And if you look at what JSN did in college when he was the slot wide receiver next to two great wide receivers in Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, he knows how to play that role. So not only is he going to be on the field in three wide receiver sets and, you know, a part of a really good offense here his rookie year, but I would imagine that we're nearing the end of Tyler Lockett and he could end up taking over a much bigger role going forward. It was a great pick. They had a great draft. They got the number one cornerback, the number one wide receiver, and I freaking hate the Seahawks. They're so mean spirited and stupid dumb pants because they ruined Mike and I's beautiful Zach Charbonnet. Why would you do that?
He's a beautiful man.
He's straight up sexy. And they ruined it. They ruined it.
Yeah, not just for us, Jason.
But not just Charbonnet.
For everyone.
Yeah, they ruined Kenneth Walker, a great running back. And fantasy hearts are sad. I think it's not a bad pick for them in real life. They're going to keep both guys healthy. They're two excellent running backs. It's a really good NFL draft move, a really good team-building move in the second round.
Sure, I've seen it coming.
Well, I did. I mean,
Pete Carroll is addicted.
I was worried about them at 20 for Bijan because I knew
right.
I knew that this was a team that had an opportunity to add a really good running back and ruin things for two parties. It really stinks, and the draft value of Zach Charbonnet, the fantasy value going forward, will be very debated. In my opinion, I think it will end up by the end of the year being a mostly 50-50 split between the two backs. I don't think it will be Kenneth Walker with 70% of the work and Charbonnet as a rookie backup. Charbonnet is easily the better pass catcher.
Yes.
He'll be in on those third down roles, and it'll be hard for both of these guys to be excellent if they're healthy. Obviously, either one, if an injury happens to the other, I think will be amazing.
I have a rosier perspective on Walker than that take, but it makes perfect sense for this team. Think about, you know, Kenneth Walker began the year hurt. He also missed the game hurt. Rashad Penny, we've gone on that ride. That ride was littered with injury at running back. We've seen way too many snaps from Travis Homer and DJ Dallas over the last couple of years. This team fundamentally cannot have a successful Geno Smith without a running game that is succeeding beside him. So, you know, to me, I still think Kenneth Walker is a much better player than Zach Charbonnet. And I think he's going to have the majority of the work, but it is a major blow to his upside. It's a major blow to him being, none of us are going to get in here on my guys or on fantasy MVP predictions and put Kenneth Walker's name down because the risk is too high and the path to a McCaffrey-esque type of workload is not there anymore.
He drops to, like, I think he's still a low-end running back one, but, you know, in our early rankings, we had him borderline top five of he's a home run hitter. Like, he definitely hits, like, he'll hit the big play, the big long touchdown, but I think he loses third down work. The question will be, does he lose some goal line work? Because if that happens, it would be catastrophic.
With the addition of Jaxon Smith-Njigba as we close out the Seahawks and the receivers they already have and now a running back room that's so strong,
yeah.
Is this the draft that Geno Smith should be your late-round target?
Yeah, yes. Geno Smith was a huge winner for me. With JSN and pass-catching Charbonnet coming to town, I see him as now maybe that. I said there's 10 quarterbacks that I'm happy with. And unhappy with everyone else.
Oh, did you go at 11? Are you at 11 now?
I'm at 11 now.
Welcome back. Us Geno truthers over here. We're holding on to last year. I'm glad to welcome you in.
Speaking of truthers, the anti-Charbonnet people victory lapping, like, I told you he wasn't going to be good. It's like, you don't understand what just happened. The NFL said he was awesome. They took him really, really high. He's obviously great, but... yes, you were right that his fantasy value won't be good as he splits time with Kenneth Walker.
All right, let's close it down with the San Francisco 49ers. All right, there you go.
No, how dare you. Third round kicker, Jake Moody.
Yeah, I mean, did you hear Shanahan's comments about this?
No, I did not.
They didn't need any starters.
They
needed a kicker.
Man.
He didn't come in and be like, whoops.
No, they literally
that's what he said?
Yeah, he said it was a privilege going into the draft where we didn't need any starters except for a kicker.
Wow.
I mean, that's
actually true.
It's actually true. And Robbie Gould was a free agent and kind of long in the tooth, as they'd say. So, look, they drafted a kicker because somebody does sometimes, and that's it.
You're telling me the 49ers, who half their team will be injured by the time we go into week one, are saying that they're good at depth?
Well, they added a lot on the defensive side, but they didn't have a lot of picks. They didn't have a first or second rounder. They had 3/3, yeah, 2/5.
They drafted Christian McCaffrey.
You know, yeah. 2 corners, an edge, a linebacker, and, you know, picked up Brandon Ayuk's option. So, you know, you want to say fantasy winners, the existing depth chart. I mean,
yep.
Sure,
those
yeah.
players are locked and loaded.
You look at the NFC Championship game between the 49ers and the Eagles, and you look at how they build their roster. One team says our starters are good. The other always drafts the great guys they don't even need. They got a great cornerback. They don't have a need there. They grab defensive linemen when they've got defensive linemen. They let them train behind excellent people, and then they just keep cycling through.
Yeah, but the 49ers knew the reason they lost that game. They've solved the problem with third-round kicker Jake Moody.
Boom, boom.
He'll probably be my week one boom, boom.
Why don't you give us the breakdown of what's coming in the UDK Plus here as we close this thing out?
Sure. So if you have the UDK Plus, number one, thank you. But like we said at the top of the show, the rookie rankings, those are updated. We're going to be hitting the laboratory here to get the Dynasty startup rankings done, get those out as soon as possible. The teased Superflex.
Get some sleep, Jason.
The Superflex rankings will be coming out with those Dynasty startup rankings as well. We have a mock draft that's already going on right
yep.
now with the
I fans, love my picks.
With us and with our writing staff. We have, you know, Risers and Fallers, my Fantasy Hitman draft or trade targets, trade away targets. That will be updated as well. Just the third big drop for the Dynasty Pass will be happening very soon.
If you got to this point in the show and you're still hungry for fantasy football information, please go get the Ultimate Draft Kit. It will provide you every opportunity to think about it 24/7.
Yeah.
So ultimatedraftkit.com.
Also subscribe to the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty podcast, which will have a new episode out tomorrow.
That's what they tell me. I can't wait. We'll be back with AFC winners and losers on Thursday. For Al, Brooks, Kyle, and the three of us, farewell.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Oh, hey, you're still here? Take a second and head over to jointhefoot.com and consider supporting our independent podcast. You get access to exclusive episodes every week, access to a thriving community of 30,000 plus like-minded fantasy football players, and access to special tools to help you win each week. Learn more at jointhefoot.com.